Proverbs 18, verse 24, the Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friendship is a wonderful blessing that's been bestowed upon us by the Lord. What a joy it is to be able to have those of like mind and heart and spirit, those that we can call friends. But you know, friendship can also be a great heartache. The story is told of two friends who were out together on a hunt in the northwest of the United States. Suddenly, one of the men heard the other yell out, and as he turned, he noticed that a grizzly bear was beginning to charge. He looked over to see his friend and noticed that his friend was frantically trying to put on his shoes and tie his shoes. The man spoke to his friend and says, "What are you doing? Don't you realize you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" The friend looked at his other friend and said, "I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." You know, sometimes friends we find like that. Some of you will get that eventually. But sometimes we have friends that are like that. They're there for a moment, and they're, as soon as things get a little rough and a little bit difficult, they seem to disappear. Yet, you know, the Bible says there again in Proverbs that there is a friend for you and I that sticks closer than a brother. We have an opportunity to have a personal relationship and a friendship with Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to know that we can walk with Him, that we can enjoy the blessing of His fellowship, the blessing of His friendships. As we come to the book of Matthew, we find the Lord Jesus Christ with those that He would have called His friends, the apostles. These men knew firsthand what it was like to have that blessing of His fellowship, to walk with Him and talk with Him, to be able to have the discussions as friends. And some, perhaps none understood that better than the Apostle Peter. Peter was a man who was ardent in his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing above everyone else to pledge his love and loyalty to the Savior. He was the one who had been brought into the inner sanctum of the apostles, and he knew what it meant to be a friend of the Lord. Tonight I want to look together at Matthew chapter 16, and I want to ask ourselves this question. Tonight, are we the friend of the Savior, or are we, in essence, a foe? Are we helping in the ministry, or are we hurting? That's really the title of tonight's message, Helping or Hurting. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in Matthew 16, in verse 13, and we'll read down through verse 24, and then we're going to bow and ask the Lord's blessing. Matthew 16, 13 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' And he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.' Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, pray tonight that as we come to this portion of your word, that you would help us, that you would teach us and instruct us, that we would learn what it means to truly be a help in the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we not be a people to be a hindrance. That we would truly act as friends and not be as foes. Now, Lord, I pray that you would teach us and help us tonight. We thank you for this time, for the instruction of thy word, and through the teaching of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, we find two basic expressions of Peter, followed by two responses of the Lord Jesus Christ to those expressions of thought. One expressed that he was the friend of God, and the other that he stood as an enemy. Interesting enough, these two events occur very closely together. And the question is, for us, is what expression are we declaring in our own lives? I want you to see these two expressions with me, and then consider how we are expressing our own selves before the Lord. There is, first of all, in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, an expression of a faithful friend. There is the expression of a faithful friend. As we come to Matthew 16, we realize that the time of our Savior with men was quickly coming to a close. He has spent 3 years with these disciples and many hours with them. He has ministered to the masses. Yet within this passage, his focus is going to begin to change. And the Lord Jesus Christ will now begin to prepare his disciples for his death and departure. In verse 13 to 16, we find Peter's confession, followed in verse 17 through 19 with the very first mention of the Savior, of his future plans for the church. It's sad to say that this passage of Scripture has been perverted and misused by many in religion, especially those within the Roman Catholic Church. There is no way to link Peter to the Pope in this passage, yet many seem to. And by the way, it's very interesting, if you take the two events and you put them back to back, one thing it does prove, you may want to say that from this passage, Peter was the first Pope. You know what your problem's going to be though? The Pope was not infallible, was he? Because right after that event, he comes to the Lord Jesus and begins to rebuke him. And the Lord Jesus looks at him and says, Get thee behind me, Satan. So how do you get an infallible pope from this passage? It's going to be kind of hard. But many have tried to take it and misuse it in such a way. But I want you to see with me this expression of a faithful friend. And I want you to see the expression of his faith. We find in verse 13 that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? So he's walking with his disciples and he asks, Who do men say that I am? Now I'll be honest, I don't really think the Lord Jesus was too interested in what other people said. He had a purpose for this question and it was really leading to the next one. But he asked his disciples, Whom are others saying that I am? And they responded, Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elias, some think you might be Jeremiah the prophet or one of the other prophets. And then the Lord asked the question that he really wanted to get to. Whom do you say that I am? Now, I've asked you about everyone else. What's the world saying around you? But let me ask you, you that have walked with me, you that have spent this time with me, whom do you say that I am? I don't know about how you read this passage. But in my mind, in my imagination, I don't see any pause in Peter. As soon as the Lord asked that question, I believe Peter spoke. And he says in verse 16, And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There was an expression of faith. He declared that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He's confessing his faith in the Lord. He recognized him for who he was, and Peter was not ashamed to declare it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he, by faith, declared and believed that. By faith, he's declaring his friendship. Notice the expression of our Savior, which is an expression of delight. As Peter expresses his faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus responds to that expression. And his response is an expression of delight. Look at verse 17 and 19. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, thou shalt be loosed in heaven. Hear the words of his delight. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now, Peter was one, has always been impulsive. Peter was one that was always quick to respond. But the Lord Jesus heard his faith and he expresses his delight. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And as you read the next two verses, we understand that the Lord Jesus saw Peter as one that was able to be used of God. He stood as one that would be helpful in advancing the kingdom of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ declares that Peter would be used in just that way. Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. By the way, the rock upon which the Lord Jesus Christ is talking is not Peter, but I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It is upon him who is the chief cornerstone, and then the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, that the church would be built. Do you have a question? I think so. I think that's exactly the point that's being made in those two events. That one is a very spiritual response. The other one is going to be an extremely fleshly response. And when we respond in the spirit, we're able to be used of God in a wonderful way. But when we live according to the flesh, we really oppose what God wants to do, and we can get in the way and we can become a hindrance. So the Lord Jesus Christ expresses his delight. And he says to him that, Peter, upon the foundation, I'm going to be able to use you. And to you, I will give the keys of the kingdom. He begins to divulge his plan for the church. And understand, this is not a concept yet revealed. These men were looking for a kingdom, not a church. The church is a new concept now. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to begin to reveal some things that have not yet been understood. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw in Peter one who was helpful, one whose expression of faith was able to be used of God. And consider what Peter did in the beginning of the church. It was Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost and opened the gospel to the Jews. It would be Peter that would first go unto the Gentiles and open up the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's why we believe that he is the one that said has been given the keys to the kingdom, that being the understanding that he would unlock the mysteries of the gospel to both Jew and Gentile. Peter was one as a friend, helpful in ministry because of his faith. He was willing to express his faith in God. But I want you to notice his second expression. This expression is an expression of a faithless foe. Notice what he says. In verse 21, we're told that from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Following such a spiritual high, Peter now falls to a faithless low. Once he would stand as the friend of God, and now stands as a foe. The Lord Jesus makes a change in ministry direction in verse 21. The Lord Jesus now is not really focusing on the masses. He's going to begin to zero in and focus on his disciples and prepare him for his death and his departure from this world. He had a plan for the church. And upon these apostles, he was going to build that church. And so he needs to now begin to teach and instruct of all that would take place. In verse 21, he reveals to them that plan. That he would be taken by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. That he'd be taken to a cross and crucified. But fear not, he would rise again. Notice Peter's response to that message, verse 22. What is it? It's an expression of fear. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." See his response? Peter is watching now the kingdom disappear. I thought he was going to set up an earthly rule and reign. I thought we were going to reign with him. Now he's talking about death. He's going to die. That didn't sit well in Peter's mind. His feelings now begin to kind of get in the way. I don't like what I'm hearing. I don't like this message that he's now giving. He had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now he's telling us he's going to die. All my hopes and dreams are being washed away in that instruction. And Peter, in fear and faithlessness, goes before the Lord and says, "Not so." His feelings now stand in the way of the accomplishment of the Savior's design. Instead of Peter being that faithful minister, he is becoming a fearful foe. I like what Charles Spurgeon said of this portion. He says of Peter, he meant to be his Lord's candid friend, and at the same time to maintain towards him that respectful bearing which would be becoming of his followers. But his dearest friend was his direst foe when he put him off from his life's work. Peter didn't like the fact that the Lord had changed direction. Although it's not really a change in direction, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ was always going. But Peter and them didn't understand that. And the Lord begins to open up their minds to see what really is the plan of God. And Peter says, "I don't want that, Lord. And I don't think it should be so." And he rebukes the Savior for saying that he would go to the cross and there to die. Peter could not by faith see the importance of the Savior's death. He couldn't comprehend the Lord's plan and sought to bring God's way into alignment with his own way. You see that in that response? "Not so, Lord. That is not what these apostles and I had in mind. Lord, I'm their mouthpiece. I'm the one who's always going to speak up. We weren't planning on this one. I left those boats and I left the nets and I left my job and I didn't think it was for you to go to a cross and die. You were supposed to establish the kingdom. We're not happy. You need to come into alignment with the way we think." And he now stands as a hindrance. It's no longer a help. Look at verse 23. Because here we find our Savior's response. In the first portion, when Peter expressed his faith, there was an expression of delight as he now comes and shares his fear and his faithlessness. There's an expression of disappointment. In verse 23, the Lord responds to Peter's fear and faithfulness. And it's hard as we read these words not to see the sense of disappointment. Yet I also find it very precious that in these words there is an expression of great love. The Lord Jesus turned and said unto Peter, verse 23, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." The Lord Jesus responds to Peter's rebuke. And in this, he shares his disappointment, but also shares love. First of all, I want you to recognize that the Savior recognizes the source of his fear. He turns to Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now I think the Lord understood where this was coming from and who was tempting him with such thoughts. It was Satan that was putting that within his mind. And by the way, I think it's important that when we come through times of spiritual highs, that we are often met by our foe who wants to bring us down from that high. And he wants us to bring us to the very depths of our lows. And the Lord Jesus returns, and he doesn't just rebuke Peter, but he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter, I want you to understand, this is a ploy of our enemy, the devil. You need to recognize that, Peter. This thinking that's in your mind, you wanting your way and not my way, that is the very thoughts of Satan himself. And that needs to be put behind. So he speaks very candidly. I can only imagine how Peter must have felt. Satan? Wow. The word Satan, by the way, simply means adversary. In that statement, there's a lesson for Peter. There is, when we stand against the will of God, we leave that place of being the friend and becoming a foe. Get thee behind me, Satan. Folks, when you and I, instead of walking by faith and seeking to be used of God, want to take God's way and mold it to our way of thinking, we leave behind the friendship that we have with Him and we stand as a hindrance to His work and become a foe. And the Lord Jesus responds to that and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But second, I want you to notice that the Savior reminds Peter of what was truly important. He says to him, "Thou art an offense to me." Why? "Because you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." What is most important to God are the things of God, not the things of men. We are most helpful to the Lord when we put first the kingdom of God, when we seek the things of God and not the things of men. So even in his rebuke to Peter, he is trying to teach and instruct and to help, because God understood, the Lord Jesus understood, that this isn't going to be the first temptation, the only temptation. This is the first of many that would come. He would go on and tell his disciples that they who have persecuted me will persecute you. But through you, I can use you in a wonderful way to spread the good news of the gospel. And you and I have to learn to live by our faith and not by fear. So I ask us the question tonight, are we savoring the things of God? Are we expressing through the way that we live our faith in His way, or do we walk simply by our sight and only what we can see? You know, the Bible tells me I'm to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, there are some things that we do in our own Christian life that sometimes just don't make sense. Our human eye cannot comprehend nor understand. And God says, "I want you then to walk by faith." I was talking to Mr. Pickett today. We were in some discussion, and I said to him that very same thought. There are some times in life and ministry that God's asked us to simply step out by faith. And there are some things that to our minds, we just cannot comprehend. But I've learned in my life this, that when I step out in faith, God always lights the path that we're supposed to take. I often relate it to the priests as they came with Joshua and they stood at the brink of the River Jordan and ready to cross into the promised land. Under Moses' leadership, Moses would be able to take the staff and he would strike the water and it would part. There's a whole new way under Joshua. I feel for the priest. You know what he said? Take the ark, walk into the river, then I'll stop it. I want you to think about what it must have been like to be the first two. Folks, from what we understand, it wasn't at the low tide. It was at a fast-moving pace that river was moving. The waters were high, and he said, walk in, and you'll see me stop the waters and part away. Really, Joshua? You want us to step into there, and God's going to do what? How about you carry it in there and see what happens? When did God stop the waters? When the last two got in. God said, step out by faith and I'll do my work. Now to you and I, that doesn't make sense. And there's other things in our life and in ministry that sometimes don't make sense. But God asks us to stand and walk by faith, not by sight. And if we're going to be a help to the Lord and His work, then we've got to walk by that expression of our faith. Not in fear. Because then we become a hindrance and a foe. Are we walking by faith or by sight? If we're not careful, we can become the foe of God instead of the friend. We can be hurting and hindering instead of helping. What a blessing it is that Jesus Christ has become our friend and bids us to come and work with Him. You know, when I think about ministry, I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, that he has counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. Do you understand and believe that God does not need you one bit to do His work? Do you understand that God does not need you one bit to pay for His work? He invites us to be a part and to partner with Him. True or false? God has a plan for His ministry. True. True or false? God has the means to pay for the ministry. True. What part do we get? We get to be with Him in it. And He allows us the blessing. Think about it. He allows you and I to serve. He allows you and I to give. And things that He doesn't really need. And then blesses us in return for it. What a great God we serve. What a friend we serve. He doesn't need you and He doesn't need me. He could probably do a whole lot better without me. But He counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. And He's asked me to come alongside and be a help. And I get to do that with Him. And every time we minister and every time we serve, we're serving with Him. Did you ever go out on visitation with someone? And it's just a great time. You might be walking around, you might be visiting people who are shut in, but it's that person that you're visiting with, it just makes it all the better. They're just a fun person to be with. I've gone out on visitation with people, and it's just a lot of fun to be with them. The time kind of goes by quickly, it doesn't matter what you've kind of run into along the way. It's just been a great time of fellowship and friendship. I've been out with others, and all they do is complain, I can't believe we have to come out here and do this. That's really not a whole lot of fun to be out there with them. Think about who we get to go with every time. We get to go with the Lord. You go and you visit someone in their home. You go visit someone in the hospital. You say, I'm the only one who does it. You're not alone. God's going with you. You've partnered with Him in ministry. And He gives you that opportunity. We can either be a help or a hindrance. We can either live by faith or we can live by fear. And in a few moments of time, Peter did both. At once he was the champion of faith, and the other time he became a foe. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to understand, Peter, upon you and upon these disciples, we're going to do a great work, and it's going to be called the church. But I need you to walk by faith. There are some things, folks, we just won't understand. But God knows how to meet every need. What a wonderful God we serve. No wonder we can go back to Proverbs and say that a man who shows himself friendly will have friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. He is with us every step of the way. The New Testament says it this way: I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is always there with us, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. As you live, the way that you respond to the things of life, can you ask yourself that question? Am I responding as the friend of God? Or am I responding as one who is acting more like his foe? Am I helping? Or am I hurting? No, God wants us to be a help, not to hurt. He wants us to be his friends and not act as his foe. You know, when the days get rough, we don't need to be like the man who tied on his shoes and outran the friend, because that's all he had to beat. We ought to be there with our Lord and Savior and walk through it all. And he will guide us and direct us every step of the way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight that we can come and gather together. We thank you that we can study your word. We thank you for the truth of it. Lord, we thank you for the example found in the life of Peter. Lord, we find one who is so bold to declare his faith, and yet at the same time, he could be so foolish to simply live and walk by fear. And Lord, we're very similar to him in so many ways. Lord, we know we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, when we don't see things the way we want to see it, we want to make God do it our way. Yet the Bible says that our ways are not like the ways of God, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. They're much higher and much better. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not to our own understanding, and then in all of our ways acknowledge him, and you will direct our paths. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Let us be helps. Let us not hinder and hurt. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.